Well, good morning, everyone. It is a joy to be with you. Back again, largely because Horton Haven Christian Camp is back in session. You probably know that there was recently a 50-year celebration, and this is the 50th summer of Christian camping at Horton Haven. For myself, this is the 36th, well, actually, it's not the 36th summer, but 36 summers ago. I was in Tennessee for the first time. I had been in Tennessee for the spring and had met Johnny Phelan and Dave King, and they invited me to serve at Horton Haven for the summer, and the rest is history. I fell in love with that place, and think about it. That's 36 years. I wonder how many campers in 36 years, well, in 50 years, but I'm not worried about the 14 before. I'm just concerned about me. How many campers touched with the message of the gospel? How many individuals who maybe were already believers heard truth that penetrated deeply into their hearts? My kids didn't grow up being campers at Horton Haven, but they certainly served on staff. And just on Tuesday night, we have Taco Tuesday every Tuesday night at my daughter's house, and she was reminiscing on time that she served on staff, and she remembered a particular message that was given by a particular speaker that impacted her life then and still impacts her life today. What an opportunity, and what a God we serve. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you find the message boring this morning and you've already registered for Mid-South, there are no refunds. So just be aware of that. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn, please, to Daniel chapter 9. The book of Daniel chapter 9. I think the book of Daniel is a great book. And if you've studied this book before, you probably are aware that chapters 1 through 6 are primarily historical narrative. And we get to enjoy the experiences of this godly man, Daniel, and of his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, the kids just left for Sunday school, and I don't know about you, but when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school, I learned to sing a song about Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose true. Dare to make it known. But after you get through chapters 1 through 6, I'm just going to be honest with you and tell you that chapters 7 through 12 are not nearly as exciting. In fact, I don't remember ever singing a song about anything that happens in Daniel chapter 7 through 12. In fact, sometimes when speakers come, it's maybe a little odd that a guest speaker would choose Daniel chapter 9. Because as you get into chapter 7, I mean, you learn about all kinds of interesting things. Like you read about creatures, a lion with eagle's wings. You learn about a bear that's raised up on one side. You learn about a leopard that has four heads and four wings on its back. You learn about a dreadful and terrifying beast, and there's a ram and a shaggy goat. And if that's not confusing enough, then we can learn about time. We'll learn about time, times, and half a time, and what does 2,300 evenings and mornings mean, and 70 weeks. Now, we're not going to get into Daniel chapter 9 and talk about those 70 weeks, but they're there. And sometimes Christians who love the Lord and who love His Word, they take different meanings, and sometimes it becomes fodder for debate and argument. Some of the elements of those visions and those symbols are spelled out for us, and we don't have to debate what they are because the Bible tells us exactly what they mean. And some are not. Yet this morning, as we look at Daniel chapter 9, we're going to look at just the first 19 verses, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's not going to be any debate. There's really nothing even for us to interpret. Rather, we get the treat of listening to Daniel as he prays. And my challenge for us will be to dare to be a Daniel and to act. And we're going to talk about the acts, A-C-T-S, of prayer. But listen as I read Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindnesses for those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, for our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants the prophets. Indeed, all Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us along with the oath which was written in the law of Moses the servant of God, for we have sinned against him. Thus, he has confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day, we have sinned. We have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay. Because your city and your people are called by your name. Now again, there's not a lot that I'm going to exegete and explain to you what does this prayer mean. We just heard it. But I will submit to you this morning that there are several lessons that I think we can learn from this prayer, apply them to our lives, and thereby live lives that are more pleasing to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll begin, and every point that I have begins with the letter R. So this morning's message is brought to you by the letter R. And we begin at number one by routine. Routine. remember what you've learned about Daniel? You know, we just sang, dare to be, well, we didn't sing it. I quoted a few words from that song, but dare to be a Daniel. Do you remember Daniel? We meet Daniel in Daniel chapter 1. He's one of the exiles that has been taken out of Israel. He is now in Babylon. And do you remember what he did? He's probably a teenager, maybe between 13 and 16 years old. He's now in a foreign land. He's being forced to go to school. He's likely been made a eunuch. And the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He's just a teenager. And he stands up and he says, I am going to obey Yahweh. I'm going to obey Jehovah. I'm not going to do those sinful things and eat that food that would make me impure. What a guy. And then you remember maybe in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar, he's the king. He was a little nuts, literally. But he had a dream. Just out of curiosity, I'd like a response. Did any of you have a dream last night? May I see your hands? Okay, can anyone tell us what Kevin the King dreamed? Anybody? I have no idea. But that's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. Do you remember? He said, I had a dream, and he calls all the wise men, all the magicians, all the enchanters, and he says, do two things. Number one, tell me what I dreamed, and number two, tell me what it means. Really? Think about that. I've lived in multiple places, and I'm here to tell you that sometimes I have crazy dreams. Like, I could dream that I came to Horton Haven to speak, but I forgot my Bible. Or I came to Horton Haven to speak, but I couldn't find the chapel. And then there are people in Tennessee that actually live in Michigan, or maybe people from Iowa or Pennsylvania. So it would be impossible for you to even, and my mind is a scary place to be. So it would be impossible to even guess what I dreamed. Yet Daniel, he said, there is a God in heaven who can reveal dreams. God revealed the dream of Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel. He also gave Daniel the interpretation. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but that's some skill. God is really using him. Well, not only that, he was a successful politician. He had a very successful governmental career. And do you remember when Belshazzar is the king and they're having a big party and they bring the vessels that had been taken out of the temple and they're drinking wine out of those vessels and they're having a good old time, all of a sudden, the fingers of a man's hand appear and begins to write on the wall. You remember that story? Meeny, meeny, tekel upharsin. Once again, no one had a clue what that meant. Who are you going to call? Daniel. Daniel comes. And he says, you have been weighed. This is what it means. You have been weighed in the balances and been found wanting. Now, if you were trying to evaluate in your mind, was Daniel a spiritual guy? Was he a godly guy? Was he a used by God guy? I think all of us would say yes. It would be wonderful to be like Daniel. But do you realize what Daniel is doing as we open Daniel chapter 9? Did you pick up what he was doing? Verse 2 says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet. Do you know what Daniel was doing? This great man, you know what he was doing as a routine? He was reading God's word. He was reading in the books, the book of Jeremiah. And you know what I think he was reading? Now it's graduation season. If I've seen one, I've seen a dozen cards from a Christian bookstore or that have a Christian message that include Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And those are wonderful words, and we give them to our graduates to remind them of the fact that God is in control and He has a plan for their lives. But do you know what those words, where those words come from in context? That's exactly what Daniel read in his devotions the morning that he prayed. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." Daniel says, I read in Jeremiah how much time was going to pass, and I read that it was going to be 70 years. And that's exactly what Jeremiah 29, 10 says. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." So here's my question for us, the lesson for us. Daniel was a great man. He was a spiritual man. He was used mightily by God. And you know how he started every day? Or at least I would suspect it was every day. He was in God's word. May I ask you? Do you? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you grown in your faith to the point where it is routine for you to spend time in God's word? If you want to be blessed, approved by God, I can tell you how to do that. I can tell you how to be assured of God's blessing. Are you ready? Not rocket science. Psalm 1 says this: "How blessed, how approved, how well spoken of is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Are you blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Meditate on God's word. Daniel did. As great as he was, he's reading the prophet Jeremiah. You know what Paul says to Timothy? "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." You want to be used by God? You want to be blessed by God? The secret to that is being a student of this book. Daniel was. He didn't become the great man that he was. He wasn't used by God simply because he woke up one morning and said, "I think I'll serve the Lord today." He spent time in God's word. And you realize what happens when we don't spend time in God's word? So I can't remember the first time that I actually spoke here at this chapel, but I've been coming for a long time. And some of you have been listening for a long time. In fact, I was here last summer, almost exactly this same time. If you were here when I was here, let me ask you, have you grown at all as a Christian? Have you matured at all? My wife and I have 7 grandchildren. Our youngest is 2 years old. Do you know there are still some things that we do not allow Sadie to eat because she's not quite ready to eat them? You might have noticed that there is nothing that I will, well, there are a few things I won't eat, like liver and onions. That's just wrong. But I like to eat. I'm a red meat eater. If that offends you, I'm sorry, but it's nothing better than a ribeye steak in my mind, smothered with onion and mushrooms. But you know, some of us spiritually, we're little Sadies. I mean, you've been here. Some of you maybe been here for the whole 36 years of my experience in Tennessee. But you still need everything cut up really, really tiny to take small bites. Because as the author of Hebrews says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What did Daniel do? Great Daniel, dare to be a Daniel, lion's den Daniel, handwriting on the wall Daniel. He spent time in God's word. Do you? I trust that you do. Not only did he do that, you know what else he did? I think as a matter of routine, he prayed. He prayed. Note the sequence of events. In verse 2, he's reading the Bible, and he understands that 70 years is going to pass. And he realizes that it's coming to the end of that time. If God says something, it might happen, right? I said that for effect, and I didn't get the one that I was looking for. I would have expected you to be shaking your heads like, dude, get off the pulpit. If God says something, it's going to happen. So if God said 70 years, and then you're going back to Jerusalem, you know what's going to happen? You're going back. Daniel reads from the prophet Jeremiah that in 70 years, they're going back. So what's he do? Verse 3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He's read what God is going to do. He's understood what God is going to do. And what does he choose to do? He prays. Alistair Begg says, an understanding of God's purpose and a trust in God's promise does not lead Daniel to say, there is nothing I need to do. You know what? For 50 years, God has been pleased to bless Horton Haven. Do you think God will be pleased to bless Horton Haven this summer? Do you think there's going to be spiritual seeds sown? Do you think maybe there'll be some spiritual growth happen in the lives of people there? I think the answer to that is yes. I hope you still pray. I hope I believe that your word doesn't return void. And because I believe that, I'm going to pray. In their commentary on Matthew, the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, they're commenting on the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. And they write, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And so needs not to be informed of our wants, any more than to be roused to attend to them by our incessant speaking. What a view of God is here given, in sharp contrast with the gods of the heathen. But let it be carefully noted that it is not as the general father of mankind that our Lord says, your Father knoweth what ye need before you ask it. For it is not men as such that he is addressing in his discourse, but his own disciples, the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, hungry and thirsty souls, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, who allow themselves to have all manner of evil set against them for the Son of Man's sake. In short, the newborn children of God, who making their Father's interests their own, are here assured that their Father in return makes their interests his and needs neither to be told nor to be reminded of their wants. Yet he will have his children pray to him and links all his promised supplies to their petitions for them, thus encouraging us to draw near and keep near to him, to talk and walk with him, to open our every case to him and ensure ourselves that thus asking we shall receive, and thus seeking we shall find, thus knocking it shall be opened to us. Point number two, I want you to notice reverence. Reverence. Verse 4 says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindnesses for those who love him and keep his commandments. So I gave my attention to the Lord. Perhaps your translation says, I set my face to the Lord. The psalmist says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, Seek my face, my heart said to you, Your face, O Lord, I shall seek. What does Daniel mean when he says he gave his attention to the Lord or he set his face to the Lord? Have you ever tried to have a conversation with someone and you know that they're paying absolutely no attention to you? Because maybe they're reading the newspaper. Now this is 2025. They're in their phone. They've got their phone and. Have you ever heard a parent say to their child, Look in my eyes. Look in my eyes. The reason a parent says that is because they want that communication to be uninterrupted. They want to make sure there is no distraction. They want their child to pay attention to them. And when Daniel prays to God, he's going to seek his face. As it were, he's going to look in his eyes. No distractions. Nothing else. Just that time communicating with God. You know, when Jesus is talking about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about going into your prayer closet. Now, I don't think we need to take that literally, and if you don't have a prayer closet that in your house that you go into to pray, you are in violation. But I think there's a principle there. To be able to pray in an undistracted way, I know you can pray when you're driving down the road, except it's a lot easier to do that in Fremont, Michigan than it is in Nashville, Tennessee. But you can. You can do that. You can pray at any time. But I love the fact that Daniel, and you'll remember, if you remember the story of Daniel, you remember he got in trouble one time because he wouldn't stop praying. He would go home and he'd go into his upper room and he would open the window and he would seek God's face. I trust that we have that routine, prayer, studying God's word. And when we pray with reverence. He acknowledges who God is. And when we talk about the acts of prayer, A-C-T-S of prayer, this stands for the letter A, adoration. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindnesses for thousands. Do you remember when Moses wanted to see God's glory? The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God. The name for God here is Yahweh, the eternal self existent one. You know who he is? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Daniel says, you are the great and the awesome God. You realize that God is not like us at all. In Isaiah chapter 55, we're reminded that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. In Numbers 23, we're reminded that God is not a man that he should lie. He'll never need to repent. I know for some of us, saying the words, I'm sorry, I was wrong, that's really hard to say. Do you realize God is never going to have to say, has never had to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. He will always do what he says. I left home yesterday, and I was about 15 minutes away from home when I realized that my wife didn't ask me to, but she had mentioned that the van was out of washer fluid. And I said, I'll take care of it. And I'm on my way to Tennessee, and I realized that I hadn't taken care of it. Lest I give her one more thing to add to the list of things I didn't do, I turned around and I came back home and I put washer fluid in the van. I needed a few extra points and I got them. But aren't you glad? God will never say, oh yeah, I'll take care of that. Yeah, I'll help you. Yep, I'll finish, I'll do that task. And then he doesn't do it. He is a great and an awesome God. Perfect, holy, holy, holy. In fact, this morning at the Lord's Supper, when we saw the Lord Jesus, I mean, I love those word pictures. Can you imagine? Jesus walks up and, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. This is all he says. I am he. All 600 of them fall down. Like, whoa. Isn't that incredible? If that's how powerful he is, just saying three words, I am he. Does it ever make you nervous to think about, whoa, I'd better really be circumspect. I mean, if I just step out of the line a little bit, wow, what a God. But you know what? Even though he is transcendent, and even though his majesty is beyond our ability to comprehend, his majesty is no barrier to intimacy. Daniel knows that he can come into his presence. And it's even better for us because the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ has torn the veil. And we have direct access. Romans 8 says, we have been given a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. We acknowledge his greatness. We acknowledge his majesty. We acknowledge his transcendence. But we can call him Daddy. Point number three, notice responsibility. Responsibility. This is the letter C in the Acts of Prayer. It stands for confession. Do you know what confession is? When we confess, when we confess to God, we are simply agreeing with God that what he has said is true. I love the fact that, now Daniel, remember, I've already painted a little character sketch of who Daniel was. I mean, he was great. He wouldn't even eat a BLT sandwich. I think there's something wrong with someone who won't have a BLT. But Daniel said, no. I will not defile myself. I've thought about Daniel in the lion's den many times. What would you have done? There's a new law that says you can't pray, you can't ask any petition of anyone but the king for 30 days. You know what I would have done? I would have prayed silently, right? Because I'd still be praying, right? And a silent prayer is as good as an out loud prayer, right? I mean, God could still hear that. Or I would have gone to my basement. I don't know that you have basements necessarily here in Tennessee, but at my house we have a basement. We almost needed it the other night, tornado warnings in the area. But I would have gone to the basement. I would have gone out to the barn. Not up in the upper room. I mean, is there any sin that Daniel was charged with that you, I mean, just out of curiosity, I'll take a minute. If you can think of one, holler it out. What sin is Daniel charged with? Where Daniel really, God was angry with him, God was disappointed with him, where he failed to miss the mark. I don't know of any. I'll just let you in on that secret. I don't know of any. So I would expect Daniel to say, "Oh Lord, it's me, Daniel, your buddy. Good old Daniel. Remember me? Yeah, I won't defile myself, and you got me through the lion's den. Yeah, we're pals, but the children of Israel, they are rotten. I wish they would do something." But that's not what he does. He acknowledges that we have fallen short. His confession is both personal and it's communal, corporate, on behalf of the nation. And what does he acknowledge? He acknowledges that we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have acted wickedly. We have rebelled. We have ignored your commandments. We have transgressed your law. We have ignored your prophets. We have disobeyed your voice. I wonder, is it a practice? Is it your routine to read God's word? I hope it is. Is it your routine to pray? I hope it is. When you pray, is your prayer filled with reverence or A, for adoration? I hope it is. How about confession? Do you acknowledge to God? It's Steve again. I have missed the mark of your holiness. You know what I found out? As I spend more time in God's word and I spend more time in prayer and Lord willing, hopefully, as I'm becoming more mature in Christ, do you know what I find when it comes to the sinfulness in my life? I find I'm a worse sinner than I used to be. You want to know why? Because I see things in my life, I see things in my attitudes that years ago I wouldn't even have been a blip on my radar. And as I'm understanding more who God is, I'm realizing, whoa, I'm far short of who I ought to be. I know here in the assembly you're probably not real big on catechisms. But in the words of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, believers were taught to say, we sin daily in thought, word, and deed. I think that's a true statement. We're called in 1 John 1:9 to confess our sin, to agree with God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the forgiveness of God is a beautiful, glorious thing. I think about David as he is pouring out his heart to God in Psalm 51. And there are things that I don't always understand. David is a man after God's own heart. Yet he lusts after Bathsheba. He gets her pregnant. He tries to trick her husband. And when he won't be tricked, he orders his murder. all while being a man after God's own heart, which just, I can't always get my arms around things like that. But a man after God's own heart, you can only imagine how his conscience must have been killing him. This is what he prays. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. You don't have to carry around that baggage of sin. And I realize if you're a believer, your sin has been forgiven. Your place in heaven is not in question, but our ongoing fellowship with God. I used to use the illustration of my kids. My kids were always my kids, no matter what. I used to love getting home from the office because when the girls were little, they'd hear the car, they'd hear the door, and they'd come running. Daddy! That's a beautiful thing. But you know, there were some days when dear old dad would show up and I wouldn't hear the pitter-patter of feet. And I'd open the door and like, ta-da, I'm here. And there's no kids. That's because they had done something that their mother didn't like, and their mother said, when your father gets home, you in a heap of trouble. Now, they were still my kids, but our fellowship had been broken, right? And whatever had broken that fellowship had to be dealt with for the fellowship to be restored. David went on to say, create in me a clean heart. God, I want my fellowship with you restored. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. We should maybe also learn to hate our sin. An old Puritan prayer went like this: deepen the sorrow within us for our sins. He took responsibility for his sins and the sins of the nation. Number four, revelation. Revelation. This is the T in the acts of prayer. I think it stands for thanksgiving. Notice verse 14. Therefore the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all his deeds which he has done. Verse 15. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself as it is this day. Daniel was thankful for the righteousness of God. Even though the children of Israel were being punished, the reason that they were being punished is that God is righteous. We could go all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy and read it, the blessings and the cursings. It's an amazing thing. God said to the children of Israel, if you obey me, if you'll keep my word, my blessings will overtake you. I sometimes try to think what it would be like to be overtaken by the blessings of God. But if you don't, you're going to be in a world of hurt. Daniel acknowledges, well, we've done our own thing, we've gone our own way, and God, the fact that you are spanking us now proves that you are righteous. You are keeping your word. But you know what else? When we confess our sin, which we have, both pre and post-salvation, he is faithful and just or righteous to forgive us our sin. And how is it that God can forgive our sin even now? Because it's been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We were at the Lord's table this morning in part to say thank you to the Lord Jesus for paying our debt. He's thankful for God's deliverance. He goes all the way back to Egypt, and he remembers the fact that the nation of Israel was delivered from Egypt. And in doing so, God received the glory. How about you? Maybe you have a tradition in your house where at Thanksgiving you sit around your Thanksgiving table, and before you eat, before you even give thanks, you might want to go around the table and everyone has to say something that you're thankful for. I remember when I was a little kid, I always wanted to go first because, let's see, you could be thankful for your family, you can be thankful for your house, you can be thankful for clothes, you can be thankful for salvation. Like, is there a fifth thing we can be thankful for? You ever notice how sometimes we struggle with being thankful? But we shouldn't. When was the last time? Daniel, as he's praying, he says, man, I'm thinking about Egypt. I'm thinking about when the children of Israel left Egypt. Well, how about you? How about when you were in Egypt, you were in your sin, you were lost, you were dead? You remember the day you got saved? Just out of curiosity. Think about it. Don't say it out loud. But when was the last time you really thought about your testimony of salvation? He said, wow, some of us know it was on this day at this time, and some of us have a general idea. But when was the last time you thanked God for bringing you out of Egypt? And if you're thinking about it right now, maybe you ought to share it with someone. Let me tell you what God has done for me. What are some other ways that God has lavished his grace on you? We ought to have a laundry list of things for which we could be grateful. I've been married for 38 years. Someone's put up with me for that long. My wife and I have two phenomenal daughters and two sons-in-law. They're okay. Seven grandchildren. And we all get along. We all live in the same hometown. Three of my grandkids live right across the street. My in-laws live right next door. Five of my grandkids have put their faith and trust in Christ, and I've had the privilege of baptizing them. Wow, I have a ton to be thankful for. How about you in your life, in your family, in your experiences? We need to keep going because the clock is. One last point. Request. Request. This is the S in the acts of prayer. Supplication. Here's this godly man, Daniel. What have we seen him do? We saw that he was spending time in God's word. We listened to him pray. He shows appropriate reverence as he prays. He takes responsibility for sin. He has the revelation of all the things God has done. And now he gets to his request. This is the S in the acts of prayer, supplication. Daniel asks, let your anger and wrath turn away from us. Listen to my prayer and incline your ear. Notice verse 17. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. In our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, one of our former elders, he stepped down because of age, but he said, what are we going to do about our Pentecostal prayers? What are you talking about? Yeah, our Pentecostal prayers. Because we have a prayer prompter and we have a bulletin that lists prayer requests. And you know what most of our prayer requests are? Pray for so-and-so because they're having surgery. Pray for such-and-such that he finds a job. Pray. Most of our prayer requests, in John's words, were for health and wealth. You know, the prosperity gospel. Did you hear how Daniel prayed? He says, God, act for your name's sake. What would happen? What would happen if our prayer lives matured to such an extent that our greatest desire was God's glory rather than my own personal comfort. I don't know about you, but I got a little ways to go because I like me. And I like me to be comfortable. And I don't like pain. And I don't like the unknown. I like my ducks very much lined up in a row. But what if I learned, God, your ordering of the ducks is far better than my ordering of the ducks any day. And I want to pray for your name's sake, for your glory, rather than my own personal comfort. And then we sum it all up in verse 19. And look at that, it's noontime, just in time to close. Oh Lord, hear! Aren't you glad that when you pray, you can know that He does and He will hear? Oh, but by the way, there's nothing to hear if you don't pray. Will we be men and women of prayer? And when we pray, oh Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive. Because I got to admit it, I fail Him in thought, word, and deed on a regular basis, and that sin needs to be confessed. And then, oh, Lord, act. Hear, forgive, not my will, but thine be done. And then, God, you do your thing and reveal yourself in our lives. For your own name's sake, oh my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. My challenge this morning is dare to be a Daniel. Act. Father, thank you this morning for your word, for the lessons that we can learn in it. Thank you for Daniel and the life that he lived and the lessons that we can learn from that life. Father, I would pray that as we desire to be more like your son, Jesus, that we would be believers who are maturing because we are spending time in your word and by reason of use have our senses sharpened, that we can be men and women who are blessed because we are meditating on your law day and night. Father, these lessons probably aren't new. They're not novel, but they're the truth of your word. So speak to us. Point out where we can improve. I would ask that the Holy Spirit is able to move among us in such a way that we will be a little bit more like Jesus with each passing day. I pray in Jesus' name.